and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Gradina, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
We are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Right. So this episode of Police Restraints, again, Big Roop was just going over a conversation we had early in the week about a video that surfaced. And the video was talked about in sports media. It was talked about on the YES Network. And it was just kind of circulating. So Big Roop, again, for our listeners, can you just go through again what this video is and how it pertains to our topic today of police restraint?
Basically, a car was seen traveling erratically, stopping short, going through a stop sign, and not staying in its lane by the officers. And they decided to, you know, obviously stop the car and see what's going on, do a traffic stop. It was former baseball player Johnny Damon and his wife. They were in the car. They were both inebriated, and they seemed to be a bit belligerent to the officers that stopped them. In fact, it was one cop that stopped them, and because they were being non-compliant, he had to call for backup.
Right, right. And based on your referral, I did see the video. You actually sent the link, and I was able to check it out for myself. And there are definitely some takeaways, some key takeaways from it. But first of all, what was the general tone, again, on sports media as far as the incident? Johnny Damon, for our listeners, is a famous former baseball player, pretty well known. Was with the Yankees for a little while, and basically someone known, but that wasn't a factor in the stop.
No, basically, like I said, they were stopped because they were driving erratically. The cop didn't really recognize them as far as being famous. He just stopped them because they were not driving correctly, and they had words. Obviously, first he said he was a Trump supporter, and is that why he's being pulled over? His wife was coming out the car, not compliant to any of the demands of the officer. So Michael K was basically, had they got a different officer, it might have been a different result. They definitely did not have any fear of speaking their mind to the officer that stopped them.
Gotcha. So I think that's a key part when we said they didn't have any fear. But again, just to focus on Michael K's kind of perception of the situation, what does he kind of seem to think would have happened had it been a different officer?
They may have been restrained. It might have been escalated to a situation where the cop might have felt threatened to use a taser or a weapon, a firearm, because they really weren't compliant.
Okay, so Michael K was basically suggesting that basically they were lucky and that the situation could have spiraled out of control.
Yes, that's what he was saying.
Okay.
In his opinion.
And we know that there are many examples of the situation spinning out of control with no precipitation by, the person stopped, the alleged offender or anything like that. And we've seen videos of it. We've seen it constantly to the point where we understand that there does seem to be, if not in fact, a dual system. And you allude to the fact that neither Johnny Damon nor his wife was scared. So if we could focus on that now, because they're noticeably drunk, the lights are flashing, they're stopped. And I guess take our listeners to that point right there where the cop approaches them.
Well, the cop approaches them. Johnny Damon is trying to exit the vehicle. Right away, the cop is like, oh, wait, stay in the vehicle. Put your hands on the steering wheel, follow orders. Johnny Damon's basically like, yo, man, first of all, why are you stopping me? I ain't doing nothing wrong. I'm on my way home. And, I have a Trump sticker on. So you're going to say that, stop me because I'm a Trump supporter? Because he doesn't think anything. He shouldn't be approached, basically. I'm doing nothing wrong. I'm just going two more blocks. So let me go.
Basically. Right, right. And I think when we first talked about this situation, it immediately kind of brought back the Rashad Brooks situation, which we did cover in a previous episode last year. And the reason why I say that is, again, focusing on the title of Police Restraints, is that, okay, if the officers were right-minded, they would have done everything they could, at least they had the opportunity to do everything they could to get this man home. and I mean Rashad Brooks, and that was in Georgia. Subsequently, he was, you know, stopped because he was inebriated, sleep in the parking lot, and situation spiraled out of control, and he was shot and killed. So when you look at the two situations, right, you see the difference in the way the police officers dealt with the situation. Most likely a difference in the way they perceived the situation. And to the point you made earlier, a difference in the way that the quote unquote offenders perceived the situation.
Yep. You're right on all accounts. They don't think that they should have been stopped. They had no fear of the officer. Basically, you work for me. I'm the taxpaying citizen, and you should just be doing my bidding. And the officer didn't feel, you know, they weren't compliant, but he didn't feel threatened. He didn't feel like his life was in danger. Like all two times with our or different types of people, it seems that they always feel like their life is in danger and drastic measures have to be taken.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Right, no, agreed. Which to me leans more towards implicit bias, because you don't know what's in somebody's mind, heart, or whatever, but you can judge people by their actions. And the reason why they contrast these two people is with the Rashad Brooks video, you saw someone who was attempting to be as compliant as possible up to a point. People could debate what happened after the point where the compliance kind of stopped. We both kind of took that off the table as far as a point of conversation, because it just wasn't relevant for the conversation we were having, right? We're sorry he lost his life, but we're saying the point is there was an opportunity for the police officers to get him home safely, right? Same as Johnny Damon. I live right up the road. I live close by. I can walk home. Please just let me go home. And as we said in that episode, if they really were geared towards protecting and serving, they would have worked with him to get him home. In the case of Johnny Damon, like you said, there was none of this compliance. Initially, there was no compliance, but there was a certain disdain, a certain disbelief that they were stopped when they were clearly inebriated. There was compliance. I'm not going to say there wasn't. There was some difficulties both on Johnny Damon's part and his wife's, and eventually, you know, handcuffs applied.
I believe yesterday, I think he was handcuffed after he failed the sobriety, but the video doesn't show that. It only showed up to the point of them about to administer the test.
Right. And it did show the wife not complying, exiting the vehicle, the officer attempting to restrain her, and Johnny Damon at one point moving from the position he was in, officer trying to restrain him, and eventually his camera falling to the ground, his body camera.
Exactly. And we've seen situations like that. Once the wife would have tried to get out the car, and the husband tried to block the officer, it would have been escalated, you know, very quickly.
Right. So again, that's why today's episode is police restraint. We're showing how in this situation with this former famous baseball player who was not recognized, so that was not a factor in the way he was treated. And we could argue whether race was the primary difference. But the fact is that with implicit bias, it seemed that the officer's treatment of these two individuals was different than what we tend to see. And again, you can't say every situation is different or the same, but there is a tendency. But the point of this episode that we're doing is that police can restrain themselves. They can deal with the situation at hand based on the scenario as it unfolds, right? If deadly force is warranted, you use it. If aggressive control is needed, you use it. But also, if you can just redirect the quote-unquote offender, you can also do that. This was an example of it. They weren't being fully compliant. They were showing some disdain to the officer. He was visibly upset by that and voiced it. Yet, at no point did he reach for his weapon. At no point did he reach for a taser. At no point did he seem, as you said, in fear of his life. More annoyed.
Yeah, exactly. More annoyed than anything else. And far too many times, you know, it escalates with us very quickly, and it gets spirals out of control.
I
was going to say, I'm glad that it didn't at this particular situation, but, you know, I think a lot of times it doesn't have to if they use more restraint.
Right. I wouldn't say people like us. I would just say people of color, because I'm not going to intimate it to myself. I'm simply using this as an example of what should happen. If someone stops and they're inebriated and they're not complying with you, but they're also not threatening you in any dangerous or deadly way, then there's zero reason for you to escalate the situation to any type of dangerous or deadly force against them. And again, when you contrast that between Rashad Brooks and Johnny Damon, you saw the similarities, right? You saw people that were impaired. You saw an officer who basically was very accommodating, at least in the Johnny Damon case. There was a point in the Rashad Brooks case where, again, it did get out of control, and he did contribute to that, and that, unfortunately, played a part in his killing. In fairness, Johnny Damon didn't seem to take that same approach. In fairness, he did seem to comply enough that it didn't need to escalate. So I'm not going to say it's an apples to apples case, but the point is the officer seemed able to not lose control and not to elevate it to a deadly situation.
Yeah, he did. I'll give him credit for that. I mean, once he realized that those two people, he couldn't get them both to really comply, he called for backup, and he waited till backup came before he did try to, approach the vehicle or whatever. But at the same token, the wife was a bit belligerent the way she was talking to him. Basically, you're hired hands, blah, blah, blah. But he didn't seem to be affected by that, where I think there's other times where someone else might say something to them. Again, Sandra Bland, she wants to smoke a cigarette, and he's totally, that officer was totally offended by that.
Exactly. I mean,
each person is different, but it just seemed like he got very irate over something that was trivial.
Exactly. And I think to your point, it's not just that each person's different, it's that the job is the same. So the badge comes with a certain amount of powers, but it also comes with a certain amount of responsibility. And what happens is we see in this case it was relatively used responsible, and then we see in other cases where it's relatively used irresponsibly, violently, and deadly. And I think the reason why I wanted to focus on this particular situation is that this should be a video template, the start of at least how officers can interact with people. Right? Because the color of the person should not matter. We have to get past the implicit bias. And when I say get past it, call it explicit bias. Well, if you're black, we're going to treat you differently. We're going to beat up on you. And we're telling the world that, as opposed to acting like we're treating everyone like Johnny Damon, but somehow the situation gets out of control. No, you don't treat everyone like Johnny Damon. That's why the situation usually gets out of control.
Tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit should sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
No, it's true. Because, I've seen situations where the first question of officer action, why are you here? That wasn't said. They were like, oh, we live two blocks down. We're going home. Like I said, this is an example of the officer not being afraid at all of the situation he was in. And a lot of times we see where they seem like as soon as they talk to the person, they're scared and very fearful.
Exactly. And I think, again, this situation, this video does need to be incorporated into some form of universal training, right? We know every situation is different. We know every office is different. Yet the results tend to fall into different patterns. People of color seem to be treated much more aggressively and killed at a much higher rate than people who are not of color. That has been proven, stated, and recorded. And that's the problem, right? If there's so much disparity in situations, then the numbers should skew differently. The numbers are not skewing differently. So basically what's coming down to is everyone is not getting the Johnny Damon treatment from the police officer.
Nope, I agree 100%.
Right. So I guess we can go to our call to action, because again, this is one where commending the officer for doing the right thing, but we're saying that every officer needs to be held to a similar standard. Because again, we're not talking about officers that are in harm's way with criminals. We're saying officers being able to determine who and what is a criminal, how great is the threat, and how best we may in control of the situation. So any call to action in that regard, because if we saw what happened on that video happen much more often, where there was no gun involved or the gun wasn't in any way remotely a threat, a lot more people would be alive. I mean, we can't underemphasize that. People are getting killed for no reason.
No, I agree 100%. Call to action. I mean, like you said, I think this should be used as a training video for people to see how a transaction should go with a regular, you know, pedestrian, not pedestrian, but vehicle operator. We are black, white, male, female. This is how you want to approach it and stay professional and keep it at an even keel, as opposed to trying to ratchet up the situation right away.
Absolutely. And I have to say, I agree with that. I would use the same thing. I think that it should be the first line, or among the first lines. It should also be used to really introduce the topic of implicit bias. When I'm in certain neighborhoods, I look at certain people, I react a certain way. And that needs to be weaned out of the police force, in the sense that you cannot react to stereotypes, because you're not reacting to situations at that point. You're reacting to expected situations, and that is killing people. So I think there a lot of training needs to be explored, right? We don't want to defang the police. You don't want police officers. Well, some people do, but most people in society want a police force that is there to protect them. And protection is usually from criminals. So again, I think this video is a good example, like you said, of showing an officer responding to the situation to ascertain that there's no crime being committed, or minimal crime is being committed. Yes, you know, there's vehicular crimes, yeah, and driving under influence.
A traffic violation more than a crime.
Right. And therefore, I can respond aggressively. I can maintain control of the situation, but I don't have to respond deadly. And the reason is because there are people who do get killed for being in the same situation, getting out the car, getting loud, like I said, not putting out a cigarette, which, again, you should comply, right? But it shouldn't warrant the officer taking it to a hyper-aggressive level.
I totally agree with, you know, with that. They need to try to de-escalate as much as possible. You only want to ratchet it up when you have no other choice.
Definitely. Definitely. So to our listeners, hopefully you will see this video. More importantly, hopefully this video will circulate in the right channels to actually move forward the process of retraining or improve training of police officers to acknowledge implicit bias, to be aware of it, to work against it, and to, like Big Roop said, find ways to de-escalate situations as opposed to escalate situations.
Well said.
Well, again, this episode is Police Restraint. I am Sean P.
I am Big Roop.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rappers so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.